everybody. Welcome to the TMT Podcast. This is your host, David. With me, as always, my fellow host, Jamie.
That's me. Hello.
Yeah, it is. And this is episode 26, where fall is always in season. And do you know what's in season for me, especially right now?
You're in the mid-hunting season of words.
That's right. I was wondering whether or not you'd remember. Yeah. It's NaNoWriMo for November, National Novel Writing Month. And so every November, I forget what it means to play video games, and I spend time writing.
It's like, goodbye Smite, goodbye Dark Souls, goodbye Bloodborne, hello pen and paper.
Goodbye everything. Although, you know, you just reminded me, seriously though, go write, you're going to enjoy it, it's amazing. But I'm reminded of something I saw, a video I saw like a day or two ago that I want to discuss with you. Yeah. You and I have no love for the game Destiny right now.
Yeah. I have a complicated relationship with Destiny where I still sometimes come to visit it, but it's all hate. There's no love there. It's like when you're in a relationship with someone, but there's no love still, but you still have to go to the same bed. You like sit in your bed, yeah. You look at them, you cry to yourself. And you think to yourself, if you know, that's basically my relationship with Destiny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I walked out on that relationship a long time ago.
You closed the door. You did it all. You did the whole mm-hmm. I will survive kind of thing. You did it, Dave. I'm proud of you.
Yep. But the reason I ask is, now, have you ever heard of the game Warframe?
The free game, it's free, isn't it? I think I've heard it.
Yep.
It's free on Xbox.
Yeah, it's a free-to-play game, and, you know, it has its things to go with it as well.
Yeah, I've heard of it, I haven't really played it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw a video about playing Warframe, and it's like the first 100 days of Warframe playing.
Okay.
That was one of the things I saw.
I'm assuming it's just a grind. It's that kind of game.
No, it was a pretty cool, clever little video showing like someone who has no idea what they're doing, okay. Becoming a really awesome, powerful dude with superpowers. And
so it's slowly discovering.
It made me think of like the fact that I played it before Destiny came out. I tooled around with it, but it's changed a lot since then.
Yeah, I imagine.
It seems like it is what Destiny was intended to be. There are lots and lots of planets to explore.
Lots of
there
story.
Is some grinding, but you do that to unlock new characters, new powers, new weapons, all sorts of stuff. It seems like it actually has an endgame of, and there's constantly new stuff being added on.
Oh, good. You know, because, you know, that's what we kind of want from a game.
Yeah. And so I'll send you the video for it, because the video is also funny, too, because there are a couple things that could definitely count from other... Definitely apply from other video games and just experiences in general. Such as this mission is best used for stealth. Gun, 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 gun. Bang.
Yeah, I feel like Destiny was a great idea, but they just didn't have enough.
They didn't execute well. Or rather, Activision didn't execute it well.
I mean, that seems to be the big thing with games this year, is it seems. Or not even that. Like, Destiny and No Man's Sky are both very amazing concepts. If they were played out perfectly, but they just weren't.
Yeah, if they worked out.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna have to send you a video to the Warframe, the link to the Warframe video, and then we'll have to, you'll have to see it. Because I think we are gonna have to play that. Because like I said, I played it before, you start at zero, and then you just end up just taking off. It's amazing.
I mean, it is a free game, Anyone,
yeah, and
anyone
you can
with an Xbox
buy
Live
if
can get
you
it.
Like spending money. You can buy things ahead of
it's
time.
It's micro, yeah. I've heard.
But it's just, yeah. There was a lot of microtransactions, but you don't necessarily need them to play. You just play and beat the crap out of everything. And you know what? They started out with melee weapons, all sorts of melee weapons.
Oh,
they
really?
Guns, rocket launchers, sniper rifles, shotguns, bows, swords, not throwing knives, giant hammers.
All right.
There's all sorts of cool stuff. And I can only imagine, like, what's... I remember, like, from the first time I played it to the last time I played it about a year ago, there was a drastic change in quality. Like, it got way better. I can only imagine what it's like now.
Like, it's had, like, a... a lengthy series of patches and stuff.
Oh yeah, it still gets like a patch every other month or so that like adds stuff and improves the game. I guess there are now guild areas where you can make your own bases for you and your friends.
Love that. I love those kind of things with games, making your own little groups and clubs and gang working together.
And some of the microtransactions end up with cool little customizations to your characters, like scarves and capes and stuff.
Of course, but none of it's like necessary.
No, it's not necessary. It's cosmetic, but it's fun cosmetic.
Good.
And it's all fun.
Yeah,
I downloaded it again. I want to play it.
I feel like the big thing with 2016 and video games is that what you seriously need to do with a game this year, if you're a game developer, is have good continued support for your games. Games don't work out if you just give up on that kind of stuff, you know? If you think the minute the game goes gold and it's like out the door and it's in developer and it's in shops, that's it, you're not going to get, the game's not going to be played for long. The game's not going to go far.
Yeah.
But speaking of a game that is getting continued support, this week was BlizzCon, Dave.
It finally happened.
Dave got
it. It only took almost the entire year. No, it's not a bonus at this point. It's just like a tired sigh and the ability to rest my head because it's happened.
Your dick just breathed like a sigh of relief.
It's over, Sam. It's gone. This is like the end of the Lord of the Rings for Frodo. More than like, oh yeah, we did it. Heck yeah.
So for people who don't know what you're talking about, what happened, Dave?
They finally announced Sombra for Overwatch, and she even got a character short.
They had like a whole animated thing for that. Yep.
And she's going to be released now, too. I can't remember what date she gets released, but I think it might be this weekend or next weekend.
I've seen a lot about her. Yep. They know. Which is surprising considering her class. You'd think she's more support, but no. She's full on out there. She's like...
Oh, yeah. She's like a stealth attacker. She's pretty much the Loki.
Yeah.
She's Loki from Smite. She goes invisible and then she beats the crap out of people.
Yeah.
Because her powers are she has a submachine gun.
Yeah.
She can go invisible. She can, plant a device that, like, warps her back, so it's like a emergency teleport. And then she also has the power to turn off other characters' abilities.
She can hack other characters' abilities.
Or, like, hack health back so other characters can't use them.
And her super is that she does an EMP that disables shields, which is great for characters.
Yeah, it disables shields and abilities. Imagine using that in a Zenyatta or a Reinhardt.
I wonder if she got...
Or, like, on a group of enemies, there's, right, all of a sudden... Their abilities are gone, and there's a Junkrat Riptire coming.
That'd be great. Like, she just does a blast, that gets destroyed. Reinhardt loses his shield. Everyone's just weak. I wonder if the radius for her EMP gets boosted if she gets hit by Anne. Like, if Anne turns into a nuke,
and her name turns into Gandhi.
She just shuts everything down. That would be great with Zenyatta's ability as well, where he does the heal thing.
That's why I'm wondering, like, does her EMP affect, or her, like, her hacking affect abilities in that are, like, in deployment or whatever, you know?
I would imagine it, like...
Because, like, does it, like, stop them from being used, or is it also shut them down if they're being used?
I've got to imagine it would shut down... if Bastion was in his tank mode, I imagine it would stop that.
I imagine it would stop that. I wonder, though, if it would cancel Zenyatta's heal. It would obviously cancel out Reinhardt's shield, because that's what it does. It cancels shields. But I don't know. I don't know if it would cancel Zenyatta's current healing, or if it would, like... I imagine it can stop, or it'll hack Torbjorn's turret.
Yep.
That would be a nasty surprise, which I'd like to see.
Some characters' supers are very instant. I wonder if it would work the same. Like, Reinhardt's smash. Like, like that Reinhardt's smash only will last, like, a couple of seconds. Like, would it be worth it shutting that down?
After it hits, you're just suffering the effects. You're not suffering the... the ability itself isn't ongoing. So I wonder then, like, because if it cancels abilities, then you'd have to be able to time that, or do you rather save it for something else?
A certain...
And that all depends on whether or not it can affect abilities that are currently active.
Yeah. Maybe it depends on the ability, because some characters do have supers that last a while, while other characters' supers...
Well, that's why I'm wondering, like, if it can do that, like, will it cancel a Mei inactive, or will prevent that a Mei from laying it down?
You gotta imagine, because Mei and...
We'll find out. When she releases, I'm gonna go test it.
Gotta test myself. That stuff out, yeah.
So I imagine, like, eventually other people have the answers too, but I just want to know.
Yeah. And you gotta imagine, because Mei's is an area of attack, area of effect super, isn't it, really? Mm-hmm. The best way to describe it. And that stays on the field for a while, it traps people. So I imagine that's where it come most useful, stopping those kind of things. Like, if you're...
Yeah, like, or like, it's also an attack, she's an attack character, so imagine using, like, is it one of your friends using a Junkrat tire or a fire missile, a Zenyatta pops, oh, look, all of a sudden that Zenyatta's ult is gone, and their team's just sitting duck again.
Yeah. It's a kind of a unsure what... It's definitely a open to... At this point, we just don't know. We just have to just assume, really.
Yeah, we'll find out. But at the moment, like... we know it'll stop abilities before they're being hit.
Yeah.
Which will still be useful to stop something like a Zenyatta when you're about to activate.
Yeah. I like the idea that if you were, like, in the middle of a fight and there was a Reinhardt with your shield and there was a Tracer teleporting around, if she did it, it would stop Tracer from being able to escape for a little while and it would take Reinhardt's shield down. That's kind of where I would
expect it to go. And then they're both just, like, wrecked. That's about exactly what it does.
Yeah.
All right. Mark. Jamie, stop cutting the fucking pods.
Oh, why? What does that do?
That activates the little crawler thingies.
Oh, shit, does it really? I thought you get...
Do you not have subtitles on?
Oh, shit, I didn't read that, sorry. The only reason I've been cutting them is because I thought...
You keep, like, shooting the pods, and I'm like, dude, you're going to trigger more of them.
I thought there was an achievement to, like, find guns in pods or something, isn't there?
I have never found a gun in a pod.
Maybe it's something else. Never mind. I'll stop then. Sorry.
All right, then. Let's continue then.
I'm trying this podcast today for some
people. I keep seeing him, like, we're playing Gears of War 4, and I keep seeing Jamie open pods up, which triggers enemies. I'm just like, Jamie, stop it. No, Jamie, please. I've unloaded an entire magazine into you trying to make you stop.
I didn't even realize. Oh, I'm so sorry. See now, just because it's an exchange, this has to stay in the podcast. It's a little bit of
world building. Oh, it absolutely stays.
Oh, no, I've actually found
it. They have to know. Yep. They have to know.
Cut things.
Things go in pods, bad things come out, don't open pods.
So anyway, speaking of Gears of War 4, we should probably explain to the listeners that you and I are currently doing a playthrough of Gears of War 4.
Yeah.
In two-player co-op.
I mean, I beat it. I beat it on campaign. You haven't beaten it yet.
I beat Act 1 by myself, but...
Yeah, you haven't beat the whole campaign yet, but you're looking forward to it.
Yeah. But we're doing a...
And so we're going through it to get all the collectibles.
We're doing a co-op normal playthrough with collectibles. So far, we've got every collectible so far, which is pretty good. I'm pretty happy with that.
We tried playing on Insane, but that didn't work very well.
For some reason, Insane difficulty? Kind of insane. Who would have thought?
Yeah, who would have thought? Although...
I don't even think we finished the first.
So far, I've loved Gears. I enjoy the Horde mode. I was never a big multiplayer guy, but it's still fun. Only thing I don't like about it is they took away 4-player co-op after they had in Gears of War 3.
Yeah, that is weird. You can imagine for story element, it's just because it's a small. It's not like a full team. Like most of the time, it is just the 3 characters. But
yeah, but it's. It's still like kind of upsetting.
I don't know why it was so difficult just to make a 4th generic character just so you can have 4-player co-op.
Yeah.
Just have a Carmine follow you around at all times.
Like, give us a Carmine. Yeah, make Carmine, like, Carmine's kid is one of the people who lives. And, like, or, like, he's one of the main 4 now. That'd be cool. And he's with us for everybody, and then in Gears of War 6 he dies. Yeah. But just like 4-player co-op, our friend Charlie completely turned the game back in because he was
upset about that thing. And I understand it, because a big thing with Team DeBar and Charlie is this was their game.
We can play Horde mode and stuff, but we can't play
campaign, and that's where they got it from.
And that's where we all came from.
This was Charlie, Craig, Luke, and Trevor's game.
Yeah. Three was the first one that 4-player co-op.
Yep. And it's kind of sad.
And now they can't do it.
I always feel weird about that. I feel like I never understand when a game goes back a step in that.
Goes
kind of
back
sense.
In feature, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I understand why Assassin's Creed did it. Like that Halo 5. I mean, getting rid of an entire portion like that, especially when the game was mainly a single player game to begin with, I can understand that.
Yeah. To me, this is similar to when Halo 5 took out split screen, and you were very upset about that.
Yes, exactly. That was another thing that, like, really. I enjoy playing split screen with people on couch co op. And couch co op, especially, is a feature I feel has gone away a lot.
Yeah, it's very difficult to find a more than one person play a game. Yeah.
At least I can do this. At least I can do that here.
Yep.
Gears of War 4 at least has split screen co-op, which is appreciated.
It does. I've seen that. I've got that option. It's nice. Yeah. Especially
if you want to play with someone you know, like a family member. That's what I liked about the original Dooms, was there's all sorts of split screen in there. I was kind of sad when that also wasn't a feature in the new one.
That's something I've been slowly dreading about the Call of Duty 4 Remastered. I've been for a while now. I haven't got the game yet, but I've been looking up for a very long time whether or not Call of Duty 4 Remastered will have split-screen co-op and split-screen multiplayer. Because to me, that was a big thing about that game, because Call of Duty 4 was, back in the day, that was me, my brother, and my dad, multiplayer.
That was your game?
That was just it. That was everything we knew. And so far, I have not yet found like an official source on whether or not it have any sort of form of split-screen.
I hope it does, if they're making a remaster of it, because that'd be like a cheap thing to take away.
What's annoying now is it's out now, and I still haven't found anything. I haven't found anything online or anything.
There is a site, I can't remember what it's called, but the site is pretty much about couch co-op, and it tells you which games have it, which games don't, and which games have better couch co-op options.
Good. I hope so. I can't
remember the name of it, but it's a really good... I've used it a couple. I've gone on there and checked a couple times for certain games. Yeah. It's really good.
When I was reading up, I did find out that they were going to only release with 10 of the original multiplayer maps, with the additional 6 being released as free DLC later on.
Oh, that's cool.
That is good. I do love, even if it is just, some people do say, oh, it's something they should have had at the release. I do love when a game studio is like, we've got additional content on its way. We weren't able to release it in time with the release, but we'll give it to you later on for free.
Yeah. I've never really been comfortable with the idea of day one DLC, because when it comes out as day one DLC, it's like something that we could have had that put this in the main game, but we decided not to.
Yeah.
And usually that's more the publisher's fault than the developer, but it's still... Yeah. It kind of sucks.
You always do wonder.
Mass Effect has done that a few times, actually. And I, even though I'm a big fan of Mass Effect, I was a little annoyed by that.
Yeah. There's a few games that did that. Or what you could say is as close to day one as you can think. Like, you had GTA 5. The online came out 2 weeks later. That could be almost considered very close to day one DLC. But you can understand why
we didn't have to pay extra for multiplayer.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying when a game adds additional content at a later date for free. Because so far we've had, Call of Duty is doing that with the additional multiplayer maps. Halo Master Chief Collection did that with ODST. And ODST and an additional map. And Gears of War 4 even has already done its first tile update.
Yeah, they already handed out a couple maps.
Added new maps and added 2 new characters based on hip-hop artists.
Yeah. They're not hip-hop artists I know at all, but they exist.
Yeah. And it's them. It's like their likeness, it's their voices, which is always pretty cool.
You know what would be really cool for them to do with likenesses and things? What if they make, like, a, what if they do a contest for fans, and one fan gets to have his likeness put in the game as a gear?
Oh, that'd be cool.
I mean, that would be a pretty cool, like, promotion.
I mean, there's something similar to that. Not exactly that, but Hitman, the most recent Hitman game where it did the episodic release thing. They had an online, they had like a poll online about who they wanted. Because Hitman has this thing called an elusive target, where there's a character on a map that you have to find and kill, but the game doesn't tell you anything about them. And for a very
special... You have to figure it out yourself.
Yeah.
It actually requires you to use your head.
Yeah, and for a special one, it was a celebrity that you had to kill. And you had the choices of Gary Busey or Gary Cole.
And actually, you got to kill both of them anyway.
Yeah, but there was like a poll about
who they want. One of them was just the main target, one of them was not.
Yeah, but they made like the poll of who they want, who you want to pick to be the main target, and Gary Busey won. And they got both, and Gary Busey and Gary Cole both provided their own voices for the game.
Oh, yeah.
Which is all great. Like, everything about that, you read that, and you're just like, this is nice. This is... Like, they ask the public what they want, they listen to the public, and then they even, you know, approach the people themselves and be like... And it's pretty tongue-in-cheek. Like, Gary Busey, for a while, like, he's always, like, had that crazy personality, and he sometimes jokes about it himself.
He's not a crazy personality, he's just crazy. Yeah, let's be honest here.
Yeah. But he, like, he's aware of it. Like, he admits it. He's, like, especially in this DLC, like...
Yeah, at least he is aware that he's insane.
Yeah. There's a briefing at the beginning where it's talking about him, and they're like, we found this recording of him. We'll play it for you now. And it's just him screaming, you can't hurt me! I have the power of invisibility!
Yeah, I think that was one day when he was really drunk.
Yeah.
I think.
And I think, honestly, I don't think he's probably ever been drunk. I think he's just naturally that. I think if he got drunk,
he's naturally a drunk.
If he got drunk, he'd probably, like, evolve, like a Pokemon.
Yeah. Jeez.
But, going on what I thought you were going to say something about, when they get, like, celebrities to play themselves in video games, similar to what Call of Duty does with their, Yeah, I think that Call of Duty had that zombie mode where it was like four celebrities playing themselves on a movie set and they got attacked by real life zombies. I would like a game where it was just celebrities in a shooter. Like your playable, you could pick through like a list of like fake celebrities to be your playable character in the
movie. That'd be kind of strange. I don't know. I feel like that level is just a bit too deep. Because like if you're doing it for like a fan contest, I can understand that. But otherwise, it seems a bit strange.
Just imagine of how many, like, they start the game, they're like, imagine how many people,
I prefer just, like, keeping them like... as, like, announcers or things. Like, again, Call of Duty, I love their Snoop Dogg announcer pack.
Yeah. That was fun. That's good. It's Call of Duty.
That's one of my favorite things that Call of Duty has ever done. Especially because Snoop Dogg himself is a big player.
Yeah. Call of Duty is great when it does that kind of thing where it has that... Where it, like, makes fun... Where it doesn't take itself too seriously. Because even though most of the players... Like, if you play online, you'll find people who are just, like, full-on aware... Full-on, like, too into it. And, like, they'll be swearing at you. They'll be threatening you. They'll be, like, talking about things that no person should ever talk about online. But the game itself...
You mean kind of like what we do?
Yeah. You could tell a lot that sometimes they understand that it's a game and they know how to make light of the situation. They know how to make things fun. And it's things like that that I enjoy about Call of Duty. Like it's funnier to me because when Call of Duty does those things where they make fun of themselves and all that, the actual fan base for Call of Duty hates it, but that's why I love it. I love all the 12-year-olds getting upset because... There's these weird, colourful things and these weird jokes and these weird moments that they were, like, not proper Call of
Duty. You mean it's adult things?
Yeah. The most adult thing Call of Duty does is when it just makes fun of the kids that play the game. People... I just want that more. Like, I feel like now we're just getting... Everything's trying to be too grounded and too realistic and too dark.
Ultra-realistic. Yeah,
Yeah,
I miss it. That's one of the things I liked about Sunset Overdrive when it first came out was how colorful it was. And just, like, oh, by the way, you can now skate endlessly on rails. Jump around a lot, though, by the way.
That's what I like about Dead Rising. Is this, if you, especially if you watch the trailer for Dead Rising 4, that's just a game that doesn't take itself seriously. That's the kind of game where they were like, where they're like surprised about the fan base. It's like, man, people still like this game. Well, better just make another one. Let's make it Christmas. Let's do this. Let's do that. Let's give him a bike. Let's put him in a Santa costume. It's ridiculous things like that in video games that makes you realize you're playing a video game.
Japanese humor works out really well in video games for some reason.
Yeah. You, like, yeah, I get and I appreciate the games that are dark and gritty and everything like that. But when you're going to be sitting at a TV with a controller in your hand, don't you just want to play something more colourful? Why not have some
fun? Yeah, I mean, we play just to have fun. We don't play... Once in a while. Every once in a while, I'll play to learn a lesson or to horrify myself by playing Spec Ops The Line. But for the most part, I play to have fun.
Yep. I mean, that's the bar for you.
Yeah.
That's the alpha to your tea. And that is... And that's why when they... Like, even if Gears of War, if they just... Where if you played four-play co-op, they just had clones of the two main characters. So they were just double characters.
I'd take that. I mean, that's what they did back in Halo.
That's the original Halo.
Until they get, yeah. And then remember, Halo 3, what did they do for players 3 and 4? They just made them elites.
They just had two random elites that aren't in the actual main story. They just show up.
We get to fight along the Demon, the Arbiter. This is a good day for us.
Hey, I'm elite number one. This is elite number two. We're friends of the Arbiter.
Does that mean the Arbiter's a cat in the hat?
Yeah, the thing one, thing two, and the cat in the hat. Can that be Halo 4?
What is that?
Halo 6.
Halo 6, the cat in the hat. Is here to fix this crap.
It's Master Chief, the cat
in the
hat.
It takes one fictional character to deal with another.
I like that. The Cat in the Hat deserves, like, a second chance after his abysmal movie.
Did you know that was that movie is the reason why they'll never make another Dr. Seuss movie?
They made the Lorax after that. I'm assuming you mean another
live-action. Another live-action one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is... they're like, no, never again. That was horrific. That is not the point of it. It's meant to be a kid's movie. Come on.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, we don't want adult humor. We don't want him being hit in the balls. I mean, it's also a very terrifying costume.
There are some movies
costume.
That are not meant... There, I mean, like, some things like, okay, the Power Rangers, I can see how that could translate to a more serious, gritty thing like they're doing. But at the same time, not everything can be goofy like that. And not everything can be made serious. There's some things you just have to have fun with, and some things you just have to let be serious.
This brings me to a great... This is actually a real great circle, because this week I watched the second Ninja Turtles movie. The second most recent one with the CGI Turtles.
Okay.
And I liked it.
And you've actually had praise for this movie before.
I will praise it again. I will say this. It's fun, enjoyable, and it's not taking itself seriously. It knows what to do with the characters that it's got in the movies. You've got... The goofy scientist who is just being a goofy, nerdy scientist. Yeah, that's a cliche, but it works in this type of context. You've got the two dumb henchmen. You've got the two dumb henchmen who are animals, who are turned into a warthog and a rhino. Yeah, they're comic relief. Yeah, they're stupid. They're fun.
That's the point.
That's the point of them. Yeah, you don't have... Not every character has to be serious and brooding, but yet... They still do that with certain characters. Like, Casey Jones still has, like, a good character arc in the movie. And he still has... But he still has funny moments. And that's... Not every character needs the exact same treatment. Like, you can just have the dumb comic relief. You don't have to get annoyed just because this character
doesn't
have a moment.
Not everyone needs a dark backstory.
Not every character needs to have a moment where they look at a picture and cry. Like...
It's always a picture, isn't it? Yeah. Oh, if only... If only I had a phone, I wouldn't have just this left of them.
Yeah. And it always bugs me with things like award shows and all this. The characters with the deep moments and all that always get the praise. But sometimes the comic relief are the best parts of the movie, and they never get enough...
Yeah, but this is a thing, though, Jamie. The people who do things like the Oscars and the award shows probably never even see the films themselves. They just look for the really big set things which are supposed to be sad, and then that's automatically the winner. A superhero movie has never won Best Picture, and it never will, because the critics are biased towards these sob stories.
I mean, hell, if you watch Captain America Civil War, it's probably a better sob story than most other sob stories.
Have you seen Doctor Strange?
I have not yet, and I am actually annoyed at myself.
I just watched that. It was great. Yep. I want to go see it again.
I heard this. If it should definitely be nominated for Best Visual Effects. Am I not wrong?
Yeah, it's definitely pretty good.
The problem with all that kind of stuff is that awards are just biased because they don't see movies and they don't see what's entertaining. They don't see what people enjoy. They see what's like
dark
and the most deep and the most all this crap.
They want things. And you know what? Most of the time, some of the things they pick aren't even actually that good.
Yeah.
Almost like they're going for the hipster thing. Like, oh, this is a show no one's seen, so it's obviously the best.
Yeah.
I hate all the bands you like. It's too mainstream. That's it. All critics have just become hipsters.
Yep. I just hate it. Like, no one seems to be looking to have fun anymore, and no one looks to just have a good time, and no one likes, like, you watch something like Captain America Civil War, and you sit through that 10-minute airport scene, your heart is beating the entire time, your eyes are glued to the screen, you're excited, you're happy, you have more enjoyment watching that 10 minutes than you would watching
it's a great scene. Yeah, we like watching guys do things like that. It's fun.
Yeah, more times than not, we just, you know, sometimes
take a moment and realize we're doing this for entertainment.
Yeah. I was recently watching a review of Ant-Man kind of thing, where they were saying with the whole pimp cart whole thing, where they don't explain really how he's super strong and yet he can ride an ant. And the guy just basically said, yeah, maybe you're not meant to overthink that stuff, and you're supposed to just, like, allow that kind of stuff and enjoy that kind of stuff. Not everything has to be, like, fully explained, and not everything has to make full sense to be enjoyable.
But I want it to.
Yeah. But I want to understand the science of how man shrinks to the side of a ant. But yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
Good for you. Go watch a documentary. Except there won't be a documentary on shrinking like an ant.
Yeah. Go remember what fun is. Go have some chocolate. Chocolate makes the world go round. You know what's one of the worst things I think you could have in the world?
What?
An allergy to chocolate.
Ooh. Isn't that
basically, that's a thing?
Wouldn't that basically be lactose intolerance?
No, no. It's a specific allergy to the nuts and cocoa.
Oh, so being allergic to cocoa, yeah.
Fuck. Yep, and so then they can't have chocolate. Even though it still tastes good to them.
Yep. That's got to be the worst. Something that tastes really good, but you can't eat. I imagine you smelling it and you'll be like, oh, what's that? That smells good. Oh, you can't have this. This is chocolate.
I know someone who's allergic to chocolate. And, like, every once in a while, they'll go ahead and they'll, like, eat some anyway, even though it makes them sick, because it just tastes really good.
Oh, wow. So they're like, I'm going to eat this chocolate, but I'm not going to be able to leave the bathroom for the next 2 days, kind of thing.
Oh, like, it'll give them, like, nausea and stomach aches, yeah, but it's worth eating because it tastes that good.
Damn. There's some things in my life where I'm just glad I don't have to deal with.
Yeah.
I'm glad I never have to be cautious about eating chocolate or something like that.
Especially chocolate.
Especially chocolate. I mean, chocolate's the best. Who don't like chocolate?
I don't know.
I feel like the advertisement for chocolate should be chocolate. Even the people allergic to it like it.
Oh, because then they could fail to get in trouble for that. But
probably,
yeah.
But
they definitely, all they really need to do in a chocolate advertisement is like, M&M's, it's like chocolate. You want it? Boom. In money.
You want some chocolate? Of course you do.
Boom.
You're human.
Want to feel better about yourself? Have some chocolate. Not enough endorphins in your system? Have some chocolate.
Nothing like a box of chocolate? Have some chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
Just imagine that was it in a Forrest Gump. He's just like, my mom said, life is like a box of chocolate. And then he just look at him
tastes
and like...
good.
And he gets like, I just like eating it. They just look at him and he's just like... I know it doesn't make sense, but... It's chocolate, you know?
Life is like chocolate. It doesn't always make sense, but it tastes good.
I feel like if you said anything in the Forrest Gump voice, you could say something that doesn't make any sense, and it would make sense, because it would be like his...
Or logic. Like it sounds like important, yeah.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you can do that with Morgan Freeman, too. You say anything as Morgan Freeman sounds interesting.
Very true. I mean, there's a movie of Morgan Freeman talking about penguins.
That's probably the March of the Penguins.
Did you actually think... Were you actually trying to think what it was?
Well, the first thing that popped in my head was Happy Feet, but I was like, no, that can't be it.
I think Morgan Freeman would make so much money if he did a YouTube channel of him just describing movies.
Probably. Like, Morgan Freeman is a movie reviewer.
Yeah, Morgan Freeman reads this, Morgan Freeman reads that.
I feel like he still enjoys acting more, though.
You could do this on the side. You could never have so much money.
Yeah, I mean...
What's he been in recently?
No, but at the same time, I feel like when you... There's a point where when you have so much money, it's like to obsess you. Money does bad things to people when you have too much of it. Money, it may not be the root of all evil. I think we can agree it's the root of some evil.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, there's some evil people... I will say this. Most of the quote-unquote evil people are the people with money.
Rather, it's like money equals no morals, because then you just do what you want.
True. So how much money do you think it'd be before you had too much money? Like,
how much money do I think I need in my life?
Like, how much until you have too much? Like, how much money would there be?
Like, at what point do you think you should, like, start just, like, giving money away? I'd say probably around 10 million or so, maybe 5 or 10 million.
Yeah, I can see that. I don't...
Because then you've got plenty of... You've got lots to take care of yourself and your family and to make sure all your kids can go to college and their kids.
Yep.
And then I don't see myself needing a gigantic house or 20 sports cars or... a private jet. So I don't know what else. Once you got all your bills taken care of, you have a house, you have a steady, a decent car, your kids are paid for college, what more do you really need?
I would buy a business to, like, continue. Like, not just for me, but...
Yeah,
like
I would definitely put in the banks and the things as well. I wouldn't just hide it under my mattress. Because then you can't account for inflation.
I don't know. I feel like I'd get to the point where I'd be like, I'd hire two... What was that thing? I don't know what it is, but like, there's like a list of 10 things that'd be great to do that no one's ever done. And one of them was hire two private investigators and pay them to follow each other.
Hired what?
Hire two private investigators. And then pay them to follow each other.
Oh, jeez.
They would just stand there looking at each other and be like... they'd be constantly running away from each other and be paranoid. But I would like... But it'd be like... I'd like put a load of money in a bank and then pay... And like hire a gang of people and like pay them to try and break into the bank and then pay another group of people to defend the bank. And then I'll just watch.
So pretty much you play God.
I'd make like a real life GTA heist, and I'd be like,
you would get people killed and play God. That's what you said. That's an example of money turning you evil, right?
Too much
you
money.
You play with people's lives. That's too much money. Jamie is never allowed too much money.
Yeah. I get to a certain amount of money.
Otherwise,
like,
people are going to die.
For the safety of the public, we have to take your remaining money. I'm like, how much? Just enough so you won't go around.
Also, you're going to jail
to kill yourself.
Darn it.
But nobody's died yet. They're like, okay, you're going to jail for planning murder. Oh.
Yeah, conspiracy murder. That's a thing.
Conspiracy to commit murder.
Hmm. And even if you hadn't killed them yourself, that still counts as like second degree murder because you arranged it.
There's like different kinds of murder. There's like the murder where you think about it ahead of time, and there's the murder where you just do it, right? And then there's manslaughter.
Well, manslaughter is defending yourself. Self-defense is where you aren't charged with anything. Like, they're like, okay, it's not really his fault.
Like, if a guy came out with a gun and you stabbed the guy with a knife.
Manslaughter is where you're in a fight and maybe you could have possibly defended, turned it off, but not really.
Yeah.
Like, it was an accident, but you could have... It's still kind of self-defense, but it's more like a... After you then, like... Let's say you wrest a knife from him, and when he goes to run, you stab him. That's more manslaughter.
Or if you, like, knock the guy out, and then you continue hitting him or something.
No, at that point, that becomes murder. Because then there's no need to defend yourself.
So what would it be?
Now, second-degree murder is convincing someone else, like, hey, you should go do this. Like, being like the devil who made them do it.
Yeah. I don't think it's like the premeditated murder where you...
First-degree murder is doing it yourself. Yeah, if premeditated murder gets you more trouble.
Because that's like planning it and everything.
Yeah, that means like you thought this out before. It wasn't in the heat of the moment.
There's so many people in the world, so there must be people at times who go all that way but never go that far, right?
I try not to think about it.
And there's so many people in the world, there's got to... I mean, yeah, as you said, hot, not to... Don't want to think about it, but... You know. There's many good people...
There's a lot of people.
There's a lot of people, and there's a lot of... possible thoughts to be had, kind of thing.
More or less.
But, speaking of murder, I guess. I want to talk about something Marvel did this week that completely blew my mind.
Okay. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It's a really good thing. So, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this season introduced the character of Ghost Rider in the form... In the form of Robbie Reyes, right?
Okay.
And then they decided this week they're going to talk about his origin story a little bit. So you're thinking...
How he doesn't have a very good one of those.
Oh, he does now.
Well, I meant it's not a happy story.
No, it's awful. So his origin story is pretty cool. His uncle was part of this company. He was doing some... And his uncle was trying to do it a different way to other people. And this one guy paid for a hit to be taken out on him. And the hit happened to be taken out the night in which Robbie and his younger brother were in their uncle's car taking it for a joyride kind of thing.
Okay.
So the two of them get shot up. Like, it's pretty gruesome. They're driving down the road.
Stuff happens.
Car pulls over. And then the car spins and he goes flying out the car. And like, you see his like moments, his last moments where he's alive, where he's in the air, where he's like flying around and he's begging God, he's begging anyone who would listen to give him the chance to help his brother. Because that's all he's thinking. All he's thinking about is basically, his brother had all this going for him, and now his brother could be dead, and he doesn't want that. So what's he going to do? He's going to beg for anyone to help.
And Mephisto will listen.
Pretty much. He says he went to a place, there was nothing at all, but a voice. And the voice just gave him the opportunity to do what he wants, to be alive again, and to do...
Mm-hmm.
And to do what he needs to be done. Now, obviously in that situation, if you're basically being told you're dead, but you can come back if you do this, you kind of agree. And that's what he did. So he woke up. And what did he see standing over him? He saw a man in leather boat motorbike outfit with a flaming skull.
That's Ghost Rider.
That blew my mind, because in no sense of the way, I thought he would just wake up and his face would start burning and he'd become Ghost Rider. I thought that'd be the closest they'd get to, like, introducing other elements from the Ghost Rider story. But no. You know, Mephisto talks to him, and then Johnny Blaze shows up and burns his face and turns him into Ghost Rider.
That's interesting that Johnny Blaze burns his face, though. Because Blaze and Mephisto don't get along very well. Mephisto doesn't get along very well with any one of his co-workers.
No. But it's pretty cool, because the first time you kind of get the hint that that someone else was there was when the younger brother talks about what he saw from his perspective, where basically he was face down the ground, he couldn't see, he couldn't move, his legs hurt, he couldn't move his legs, and then he heard a motorbike pulled up. And he says that moment, and he just goes, "That's when I heard the motorbike pulled up." And you think to yourself. And the second that happened, in my head I was thinking...
So there are two Ghost Riders then?
Yeah, apparently. There's the Robbie Reyes and Johnny Blaze. Well,
and do they both still serve Mephisto, or are they both like, "Nah, this guy's crazy"? Because that's about what every Ghost Rider does. They're like, "Nah, this guy's crazy."
Well, Robbie's kind of made it out that he's not heard from that voice again since that night, kind of thing.
Oh, but waiting to call in his favors. Okay.
But he has made it clear that he can't fully control what he hears the other side. The other, when he becomes Ghost Rider, he has basically no control, kind of thing. Like, he gets angry. Like, sometimes he gets
that's
angry.
That's about right. Sometimes most Ghost Riders can't control it at first.
Just decides to come out. And I assume that's similar for Johnny Blaze. Like,
at first, until he learns to control it.
I'm assuming when Johnny Blaze met Robbie and turned him into the Ghost Rider, that wasn't him doing that. That was full on just Ghost Rider through Mephisto.
I think at that point he should be able to control it.
Yeah. It depends. We don't actually know the. But that's because that's all they've gone on about it. So, like, it's been made pretty clear that there's more than one active Ghost Rider.
Yeah, obviously. Because,
which is pretty cool to think. Because in the comics, there's a whole bit of Robbie Reyes and Ghost Rider and Johnny Blaze.
There are a lot of Ghost Riders in the comics.
Yep. But they haven't really touched on the origins of the actual Ghost Rider. They've touched on the origins of how Robbie became Ghost Rider, which is a completely different thing. But there's this whole... Mm-hmm. But, like, the whole thing of them making it clear that the Ghost Rider's more than a thing, and the fact that they haven't gone into full detail about, like, I'm just assuming that voice that he talked about was Mephisto, because it'd make sense. And for, like, someone who knows the character, obvious, it's kind of obvious when considering how tied into Ghost Rider he is. But, like, none of this has been fully mentioned. Like, I'm assuming this is, like, planting seeds to, like, continue this story and introduce more to this.
Oh, yeah.
Of Johnny Blaze, all we do see is him in Ghost Rider. So it's not like they have cast an actor for him.
They don't have a moment.
No, it's just basically a cameo, but it's probably the coolest cameo ever when you think of what it means for the Marvel Cinematic Universe, that among all the characters in the universe, there's just two Ghost Riders about. One of them's driving a bike. The other one's in, like, a sweet Dodge Challenger, I think it's called. It's getting pretty crazy to think of how many characters are active in one universe.
Eh, not really.
My favourite comparison is you've got Punisher, right? He's doing his thing, he's killing people in Hell's Kitchen or wherever he is. And the other side of space, you've got Howard the Duck.
Again, back to the duck. You and that duck. I think at this point I begin to think you have a thing for ducks.
I have a Howard the Duck pop figure.
You a fetish.
I don't have a fetish. I think they're the biggest polar opposites of characters ever. They're both characters from the exact same comic book.
But what I mean is, like, no matter what, you inevitably bring up Howard the Duck.
I love Howard the Duck. Sue me. I hope he's in Guardians of the Galaxy 2 at some point.
You bring him up almost more than you bring up Batman.
Yeah, but I don't like Batman.
I don't know.
Who do I like?
I remain unconvinced.
He's
not a duck, he's an alien.
No, he's a duck. He's a duck for a parallel dimension where ducks were the dominant species of Earth.
So he's an alien. He's an alien to Earth.
He's an Earthling from another dimension.
That's still an alien to our planet. Because it's not our Earth.
But he's... Okay. He's still got duck in the title. Being alien duck, but he's still a duck.
That doesn't mean, though, that he... Just because you could call anything a duck in title. We call Turians birds, but they aren't birds.
Why are you arguing against Howard the Duck?
Because I hear about Howard the Duck a lot.
It's not that often I talk about Howard the Duck.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. I'm sorry that I love Howard the Duck.
You better be.
I better be. But speaking of comic book movies and Batman and stuff, mm-hmm. This week, the Flash... movie lost its director.
Oh.
Which is apparently the second director that the Flash movie has lost.
Wow, that's not good.
That is not a good track record for that movie.
Not a good sign.
And so far, it's currently in pre-production as well, which is not a good phase to be in without a director.
No. I mean, really, it's never a good time to be without a director. No.
And considering what, like, DC hasn't really, like, besides saying that, they haven't, like, said anything, they pretty made it clear that they're probably still going to try and stick to the same release schedule, which is meant to be next year.
Haven't they learned that rushing things does not do them any good?
I don't have much hope for that movie at this point, because... It just doesn't seem like they know
what
they're doing.
Look at the other projects they've rushed.
Yep. DC's track record, like, the fact that they've released three movies and
their track record right now is not very good.
And it's the A-list characters. They have yet to do a good Superman, a movie with Superman. They've yet to pull off a good movie with Batman. They really underused the Joker for what he was. Like, these are the
track record so far has not been great.
Like, they need some help, or they need to just take a little bit of time to figure out what they're doing.
Yes. Desperately. I mean, it happens. Sometimes you just need to chill out and just do it. Just take it easy.
But I will say I have good hope for Wonder Woman. Simply because they seem to
have... That movie looks good so far, yeah.
They seem to have sat back a bit. They haven't seemed to have been as strict as they were with the other movies, in the sense where they seem to have let the director just have most of the control with that movie. Like, there's no, like... Because the thing with Flash is there was this whole thing where apparently DC were trying to put Cyborg in the Flash movie. And the director at the time was like, I don't want this. I'm happy with it just being Flash and all this.
Yeah, I just want a Flash movie, not a Flash and Cyborg movie. Yeah. Why are you trying to hurt me?
You know, and then you had... and then you just have how much content was cut from Batman v Superman and Suicide Squad. I have a good idea that... Wonder Woman will be the first good movie for DC, just because they're not being as in its face kind of thing. They're kind of sitting back and letting it do its thing.
Plus, if you look at how Marvel does their movies, the superpowers themselves and the fact that they have superpowers aren't the main part of it. They're superpowered, yes, but that's not what the conflict's about.
Yeah.
And I feel like some, especially like Batman vs. Superman, they miss that.
Yeah.
The conflict comes from people, and superpowers are just like a way they're expressed.
Yeah. I think the big difference between DC and Marvel is that Marvel have just completely ignored the whole secret identity stuff. Like, Iron Man's like, fuck you, I'm Iron Man. Thor's just Thor. Captain America's basically everyone knows who he is. Like, it's basically just Spider-Man. Spider-Man's the only character with a secret identity, and that's just because that's a big part of his character.
Yeah.
But, like, we don't need all this
crap. And also, we, like, never really see that happen, too, because we never see them really interacting with the public. Like, they kind of keep it hush-hush, but we also never, they don't really go into that dilemma. They're dealing with things, their own problems. Like, oh, there's a guy threatening the world. Well, how are we going to figure out how to do this?
I mean, the thing with Superman, Clark Kent, he has no reason to keep his identity secret. Because even when he keeps his identity secret, Lex Luthor still kidnaps his mom and his girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no reason for him to do the whole Clark Kent, being normal, pretending to be whatever. He can still do that. He can still be Clark Kent. But it could be Clark Kent who flies around and film and takes pictures from above and whatever. Like, he'd be Clark Kent, the flying photographer. The flying reporter. Like, they try too much to get this whole two lives thing.
A lot of it, yeah. I feel a lot of it's because they were rushed. They keep rushing to try and get to, like, counter Marvel's, like, years that they've had. But Marvel built that up slowly. Everyone hated the first Thor, they still kind of hate Iron Man 2. But Marvel's gotten better over time. The reason the movies are so great is not only because they've had time to build it up, but because they've done so many movies, they've learned from each time how to make a better movie. Doctor Strange is phenomenal, but I don't think it would have worked if they had done it back during Thor. People would have liked it as well as they liked the first Thor, because they simply were still rather new to the idea of making a movie like that. Yeah. But now they've had experience, and they've had all this time to set things up, and now all of a sudden it works out well.
Yep.
And it doesn't. And it helps that they have Tortellini Cucumber Man.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah.
Tortellini Cucumber Man. So that's like the worst superhero ever.
Why? I love cucumbers.
I like cucumber too, but I don't want a man made of cucumber, Dave. That's just ridiculous.
You don't?
No.
What's wrong with you?
All I want is a talking duck.
Of course. At this point, it really is like a fetish.
Have you seen the interview with the director for Ragnarok, where he said the way he's approaching the movie is he's not thinking so much about making it fit into the universe as he is making his own movie and then afterwards fitting it in.
Okay. Kind of like Red vs. Blue style. We'll figure out that stuff after. Let's just make a movie. Let's just make episodes. Oh, wait, we need a story. Okay, let's see how this works together.
Yeah. Like, it's easier to come up, like, it feels less forced when you write a story and then afterwards find ways to correct it instead of writing a story where you have to have these certain moments show up.
Well, I mean, that's just getting into theology now of how to write better, by the seat of your pants and correct it later, or to have it planned out all instead. That's more of a preference thing. Tolkien planned out everything he did in Lord of the Rings first and then wrote it. Some other people prefer to write by the seat of their pants and then fix it later. That's more of a thing. I don't know. As someone who's writing by the seat of their pants this year, usually plans, I don't know. That's a debate in philosophy.
Yeah. I think it just depends on the medium. Like, you said Red vs. Blue. Red vs. Blue is a good way of how they did some crazy stuff with church, where they did all that ghost stuff. Mm-hmm. And then later on, they tie it all in with all the...
Yeah.
Like, everything that Church did in the first five seasons, they explain in season six.
Yeah. But that doesn't necessarily always work, depending on... I think it's not necessarily even a medium thing. I think it's an artist thing.
Ah.
Like, it's a writer-creator thing. Some people are better at it. Some people prefer to have it planned out instead. It's just how you know, brains work. Some people do something ways better than others.
Yeah.
But speaking of fitting things in.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my.
It is time for us to fit in the end of this podcast.
Oh. And then fit other stuff later.
Yeah, not in public. Not in public, Jamie.
No.
But thanks, everybody, for listening. We hope you enjoyed this. I guess Jamie's going to enjoy fitting things in later, and
I'm going to have some fun later on.
To you guys next time. Good night, everybody.
I'll go get the lube.